Welcome to Chick Chat, the podcast where the girl with many titles talks about life, the good and the bad, and everything around it. We're going to sit, chat, share life stories and experiences, from business to relationship.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Chick Chat podcast. I am joined today by Maureen. Hiya.
Heya, how are you?
Oh, I was just saying to you, like, I'm good, but I'm tired. I looked at the time and I was like, do you know what? This is actually, to say I'm tired, it's actually been quite a decent day. And I was coming up here and I was like, okay, I love recording these in the evenings because it's a really good way to kind of reflect on stuff and wind down. So I'm looking forward to tonight's sleep.
Oh, good.
And how are you?
I'm good, yeah, but also tired, but generally really good. I've had a good day.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, thank you for agreeing to be on. For anyone that's new, we start with a challenge of the week or a tip of the week, and then we will check in the middle and see how we're actually doing, and then at the end we'll end with a win of the week. So the reason I rush us straight into this is because there is so much that I know we can talk about and will be talking about, but we only get a short space of time, so I'll just let you introduce yourself, what you do, and even just how we know each other, because I think our versions are going to be very interesting. I was thinking about this earlier and I was like, the internet is crazy.
Yeah, Maureen, currently a stay-at-home mom of three, home educating. And oh my goodness, I think we met on TikTok. I think I saw you on TikTok and started following you, and I love your content. Like, you're so inspirational. And then we bumped into each other then, you know, in other places.
It's such a small world, honestly. And I was thinking about this earlier because now we'll start with, actually, do you know what? We'll go straight into the challenge of the week, because I think my challenge has actually ended up being what will be linked to my win of the week because of what I realized about us. So my challenge this week was just kind of accepting like adulthood for what it is, like work and life. I think I was saying to my cousin, I had to readjust my expectations, and it ended up with me just on Monday, I was like, therapist, I need to come back here. And she got me in Tuesday, and we then talked about like authenticity. So I think that was my challenge this week, whereas actually, even in where I wanted you to be on, like you said, we met on TikTok, but we met on, so that was at the time my backup TikTok, because I just wanted one TikTok where I could voice myself and be my authentic self without feeling judged. And that's how I started with my onesies and not having my hair combed all the time and all these things. And then all of a sudden, I met people that, one, I'm inspired by, but two, actually, you end up being like, fair enough, like you're on the internet and that's how we got to meet each other, but now we're in the same like circles, knowing the same people, and it just shows the power of like words and our choice to kind of just choose ourselves.
I love it. I think there's nothing more beautiful than being authentic. And I think that's missing in the world. And that's why we have so many issues. But it requires us to be self-aware to be authentic. It requires us to have compassion and grace for ourselves and for other people to be authentic. And in a world where, you know, you have to wear so many masks and pretend to be someone that you're not, pretend to have it together, it's so difficult to be authentic. A lot of my videos, I literally like, I have no makeup on, I have my hair looking all sorts of ways, and I have had some people call me out on it, but I don't care, because I shared my true self and connected with millions of people and thousands of people. And, you know, I could have waited till I had my makeup on or my hair done, but it might not have been authentic. And sometimes I record my videos on the go, you know, if something comes up for me, I do it. And that's how it's worked so far. Some of them are scheduled, but generally it's just like whatever I'm feeling, whatever comes up, because I want to keep it as real as possible.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. We'll come back to that in a second. But what is your challenge of the week?
My challenge of the week has been getting my kids not to be on the screens a lot. because you know, they're with their dad on the weekend a lot, and they watch a lot of, they spend a lot of time on the screens. So I, you know, generally I'm very low screen with them, but the last few weeks have been so hard, and I just found myself just letting them just get on with it sometimes, especially after we've done the homeschooling and up at the end of, you know, my patience. So this week, like we've had quite a few days with no screens at all, or like today we just had an hour, which is incredible, but it was challenging when everybody needs you so much.
Jeez, do you know what? I always, and I'll come back to kids later on, I always think about how difficult it must be for parents anyway. But like our generation, like we've met because of being online and being on screens. So it's so easy to forget the, like I've seen it with my niece where you're going, actually, I need to be present in this moment and just not let that side of the world come in. And then you start to realize how much you use screens and how often it's an automatic reflex that, oh, I'm bored. Oh, I'm in the middle of doing something. I need a distraction. Let me just whip my phone out.
And they watch, kids don't listen to what you say generally, but they see everything you do, and that's who they become. That those are the things that they copy, because if you're doing it all the time, then they think it's normal to do it all the time. So yes, I do catch myself being more careful since I've had kids, but it's hard. It's
I can
so hard.
imagine. So, for the people that obviously like don't follow us, where were you born? Where did you grow up? Where are you currently based? Because that as well, in terms of how we met, that just sums up. It's such a, it's similar.
So, Kenya, born in Kenya, moved to Dublin when I was 12, and then I moved up to Northern Ireland when I got married. And yeah, so we have that in common, firstborn daughters of an African family. So anytime you're talking about that, I'm like, say it, share. Because the struggle is real. The position that we're put in as firstborn daughters of in an African family is it's not fair. We're very parentified, and then we find ourselves decades later, like me, with kids and without any help. So the kids that I helped raise and the mother that I was fully there for is not there for me, and it's a really difficult place to be.
I can imagine. Do you know what? Like, that's something that from watching your content, everything from trauma to just trying to figure out like day-to-day life and healing and choosing to heal and choosing to kind of let go of all of that. Like, when I obviously, like I said, I went back to therapy this week, but I was sat talking to her and I was saying some of the things I'm a bit confused about at the moment. I don't understand completely why. And she was like, you spent 2 years in here designing your life and wanting to have people that have shared values across business and life. So, because one of the things is how I can't always separate work and life. And she was like, everything, because she kept bringing up the word intentional and like intentionality. So, designing your life where you're intentional about the people that you bring into your space and how that makes you feel, how it helps you heal. And I sat there and I was like, oh my days, it's so right. Because, like you said, I up until I maybe got on TikTok, I can't remember feeling like this before. I hadn't seen other black women, other firstborn daughters explaining how I felt without me even having, because I did, sometimes I didn't even know what words to put next to it. And I come across your a lot as well. I remember one of the first posts I saw yours, because you've been to Jordanstown Beach, and that's where I go walking, especially when I'm on my own. And you'd had a negative experience then. I remember being like, how crazy is it that even when you see someone that you resonate with so much, you can still find differences, but also you can find such weird similarities that you're like, this world is so complex. And when people don't listen to you as someone that lives it, you're going, are you being serious? Like, you want to tell me how to live and how to feel when people between like me and you, like, I think about having kids and I'm like, that freaks me out because whilst I'm lucky I've got my parents nearby, I have to decide everything just going, me and G need to be 100% solid. It's going to be me and him. And because we don't live life in a conventional way to the way that other people do, I'm then like, I don't have anyone to look at that lives life like this. So like homeschooling is something that G wants to do. And I remember talking to mum about it. My mum was like, why would you do that? Why would he be?
Africans don't get it at all.
Yeah, like there's just all these things that I think seeing people like you have been like, oh my God, like you get it.
Yeah.
You have to explain myself. Like, what? It's just such a
Yeah.
feeling.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that's one thing that TikTok and the internet has done for me.
Yeah.
Found me, and the algorithm on TikTok is generally spot
Yeah.
on. Sometimes it does push my content to racist people,
Yeah.
which so then I get trolled, but generally it's very good at sending my content to people who think the same way or
Yeah.
sending me content that I can really relate to. And I have found sisters and friends, and literally a lot of the relationships I've been in the last year, year and a half, have all, most of them have been TikTok relationships where we've
Wow.
met on TikTok and then met in real life. I
Yeah.
have a friend in Scotland now, and we visited each other, and and we met on TikTok. She was one of the people that when I was talking about racism, she fought for me. She's a, a Black Scottish woman, and
Yeah.
she was fighting the trolls for me,
Oh.
So yeah, seeing people that look like us talk about generational trauma and talk about racism, but not in a way that makes us victims, but in a way to be like, no, enough is enough.
Yeah.
You don't get to call us the N-word or make monkey
Yeah.
noises at us. You don't get to do any of that. And then finding ways to heal from racism. And I have to say, anytime I watch videos, especially of like Black American or Black British people, because they're much more empowered than Black Irish people or even African people and people straight from Africa. It just fills me with so much power to be like, okay, I'm not fighting alone. They've gone ahead of me, and I can stand my ground here in Northern Ireland, and I don't have to take the BS from everybody else.
That's so
Yeah.
true. And it's like everything you're saying there, I'm like, there are so many points here, but we'll do the little check-in because I think this is a good point as always, because
Yeah.
we're talking about racism and all of that as well. Like, how are you actually doing at the moment?
I was talking to someone about this today, and I'm having some really, really good days. So I've learned from being in 12-step programs, to keep it in the moment, especially when you have big life transitions going on, which I do at the moment. So to keep it in the moment, keep it in the day. And when I do that, actually, I find it less overwhelming. So I'm having some really good moments, some really good days, and I'm really grateful for that. And then whenever I'm having like a terrible moment, I allow myself to feel and cry. Like today, this morning when I was loading the dishwasher, I just had an overwhelming sadness over how, one of the things that I've shared publicly is my in-laws and their treatment of me. And it made me really sad in a way that I haven't felt in a really long time. And I had music playing, and the Kelly Clarkson song, Because of You came out, and I just went with the flow. I just cried, and I held them accountable. They're not here in my kitchen, but I was able to hold them accountable. I was able to hold my mom accountable and to empathize with their wounded me, and to be like, they treated you like shit, and your mom prepared you to marry into a system like that, and you've done the best that you can, and you've walked away from that, and just proud of you. So yeah.
I'm proud of you too. That's amazing. And it's so funny because even different situations, but I can resonate a lot with everything that you said as well. Because I think I'm doing well, but I'm in a transition as well. And I think that's why for me being back in that therapy space was important because I'm also in my first healthy relationship. And even when you were talking about the 12-step programs, I was talking to G about this the other day. So I don't think most people know, but I went to Al-Anon for a while, and the first time that I'm ever talking about this. And when you said that about like being in the day and the minute, the hour, that like all of that, that's how I felt at the beginning of this week. And I was like, actually, it's also really nice to look back because I think I saw one of your videos the other day saying like you think that healing's like that, but actually you're kind of going up and down. And
Yeah.
I think sometimes I struggle with that because I'm like, yeah, I'm doing so well, and then all of a sudden this overwhelming, like you said, you just need to feel. And I think recently I've had so much that's been going on that's been amazing and I'm so grateful for, but it doesn't change some of the things that you've been through. And like I said, the fact that this is now my first healthy relationship, so I'm having to deal with what came before that I dealt with. And for me, like this week was also realizing that actually for all this time I thought that my self-esteem has always been really high. To an extent it has, but the people that were in my life at the time reflect the previous version of of me that I used to be. And when you talk about Kelly Clarkson, that's one of my favorite songs. And so from Lent, I decided that I was going to listen to empowering music. It was normally like Meg Thee Stallion every single morning, but I've carried on because I even realized that I used to sing every single day when I was younger, and I don't know when that changed. I stopped.
Me too. And singing is so good for like helping you be in the moment. It's good for anxiety. It's good for mindfulness. It's just really good. And I stopped as well. And I noticed a shift in my mental health when I stopped singing as much as I used to.
Because I've noticed now, like I'm saying, as stressful as life is, I still go into the bathroom every morning, and I think I missed one morning this last week, and I noticed the difference. And I was like, I just let Apple choose its thing. Sometimes I know what I want to listen to, but like you said, just for the sake of sometimes I catch myself even dancing, and that little bit of movement, the being in the moment, the allowing yourself to feel where I do, I've not needed to like cry a lot. I think I cried once this week, which normally this kind of week it would have been every single day. It still allows me to kind of get that emotion out, but in a way that I think my body just, I forgot that that's what my body used to do. And now it's like a little bit of like my inner child is back to kind of help me out. And I'm like, oh, like this is so different.
And I one of the things that I'm really shocked about is how in tune I was, even at the height of my childhood trauma, my inner child. They always knew what to do. So I was fully immersed. I was a weird child. Because I remember at 12 or 13 waking up at 5 a.m. to go for a run in Dublin. Like how, what? At 12, at 13. So like I knew I needed physical exercise. I knew I needed music. I journaled furiously for years. I took notes, and actually those actions were just me practicing mindfulness, and I didn't even know. And that is how I got through my a lot of my childhood trauma. And I wrote music, I taught myself how to play the guitar, I joined choirs, I did so much. So she knew, she was connected to the divine somehow and to the body. And then you get older and you start living, conforming to people's expectations of you, and all that stuff falls away, and then you're left with a really shitty mental health. And it's because you're not doing the things that you knew to do. And that's why I really love letting my kids choose for themselves. And if you notice, kids are so physical, they move around, they sing a lot, they dance a lot, they love to touch and feel. Like when I'm cooking rice, my kids just want to grab some and feel it, and cut up the pasta, like the spaghetti, stuff like that. They're connected. They know what they need. And so we need to go back. And that's what the healing and the inner child work does. It brings you back to yourself.
Do you know what? So well, like this is why I love doing this, and I've kept this format because I don't think in a million years I would have even got to a question that gave me what you've just given me. And you just made me realize that not only are you right, but like you talk about journaling, I blogged. So I started blogging before it was even a thing. And I've always been like, I'm not a creative. I can't journal. I can't do all these things. But I was the same as you. I lived in Sheffield. 5 a.m. I'd be going for a run. When I started my business, so I was 15 when I started my business, and I'd be at college. So this was then going towards what, being 18. So I was just over 18, and I then would start. I'd get to college for six, bait, and then start. But sometimes, like I'd be exercising at like I just had this routine that involved movement, involved writing, involved singing. I used to be part of choir. I tried myself the guitar, but
Oh, love it.
I did my singing lessons and I got to grade five, and I always said I'd love to get back and finish all of my grades. That is
Girl,
what
we need to start a band,
we do.
a girl group, and
That
I
would
trauma
be
recovery
amazing.
girlies.
But you know what? I find this even greater and more healing because when I moved here, so this year I think will be 9 years I've lived here. And I was saying to, I went, I had an appointment the other day and I was saying to the guy, because he supports Leeds, and he was like, "So what? Like, why did you stay?" And people always ask me this, and I always loved it here. Like, I love the people, I love the landscape, and so on. And I've only ever had a small handful of negative experiences, but I would have gone a week without seeing another brown person, never mind another black person, just any other ethnicity. And as time's gone on, that's become better and better, and it's become more multicultural. But obviously, with that comes the good and the bad. So to even see like how this landscape's changing, and I remember before we like actually met this year. So for those of you that don't know, hopefully we'll have time to go over this. We're going to be in a short film together. But before we met at that screening, I'd been telling G about you, and what was I even talking about? I can't remember like where the conversation had come from, but I was saying that I'd come across you and like some of the things that you talk about. It takes so much strength to be able to do that. And like the trolls, like you've said, to deal with all of that, because I'm really lucky. I have a team and I'm training my brother at the moment to like come into the business so that I've got an extra pair of hands, someone that really knows me and I can step away like when it's unexpected as well. And he messaged me the other day and he was like, "How do you deal with some of these comments?" And I'm really lucky that it's very few and far between. On all of my socials, I've made sure that I'm very particular about how I reply to comments and the stuff that I put. I ignore something sometimes, bite back, but most of the time, like I've trained myself. However, I've also trained myself to step back and like have the team look at some of those comments, because I'm not someone that can deal with that all the time. And once it overshadows me, I'm gone for a long time. So I applaud people like you that fight near enough every single day, that do put stuff out like that, because sometimes people are like, "I don't see why people do that." But I'd said, like, you were one of the people that inspired me this year to start talking about some of those more difficult topics again, because I realize I've got the power. And if I don't want to let other people kind of say the two pence, I don't have to let them do that. But I can, if it's my piece, put out there whatever I want. And yeah, how do you do it?
Oh my God. So it's definitely helped me to thicken my skin, which is because I'm highly sensitive, super sensitive. And, when you grow up with a lot of like abandonment and neglect, you become like a people pleaser. So I, for years, did not call out racism and actually stayed in denial about racism because I didn't want white people to hate me, especially, having married into a white family. And so I didn't call it out for years. And then as I went through therapy and 12 steps and just finding me and being like, no, actually, it's not healthy and it's not me. If I call out racism, I'm calling out, the acts of racism and obviously systemic oppression as well and white supremacy. But if somebody's not racist and actively not racist, they're not going to be offended. And oftentimes the people who get offended are the ones who think that, who are racist. And so I had so I've had moments where, oh my goodness, like when I started sharing the story about my father-in-law, because that was my first video that went viral, I had so many like really good comments, but then some horrible comments. And the ones from white people didn't bother me as much. It was when black people agreed with my father-in-law and said, actually, it is true. We can't rule ourselves. And I was just like, oh my God, they internalized racism. So that really bothered me. So that I felt like my sleep had gotten a bit messy because I was like, how can I make them see that you're actually, by agreeing with him, you're being racist? But I've come to understand that I can't change anybody. But I did have an incident where, and she's a big creator on TikTok, talked about, I was talking about how calling someone's hair a mop of, a mop head, is not a good thing because of the connotations of, anyway, she was like, I've got a mop of hair, and she sent her trolls to me. Literally, she has millions of followers, sent them to me, and for about 5 days, I was just getting rid of these comments, and it was horrific, and I literally left TikTok for about 2 weeks. That was a really horrific. It was so bad for my mental health because there was no grace. They were not trying to understand. They were trying to get my account banned. They were, so I had videos taken down, or flagged for, and I was just like, so I, in the moment, I was able to appeal and also be like, but I also took a step back. So it's learning to take a step back, obviously put in the measures that you need. For example, really control the comments that come in. But I do wish I had a team, and but also learning to kind of talk it out with friends. And like I said, some of the people that I've become friends with went to war for me. So I'm really grateful for that. But yeah, it can really mess with your mental health. It doesn't bother me as much anymore now because I've reframed everything, right? I'm not trying to please people. There's a therapist I follow, his name is Patrick Tehan, and he says we don't listen to what toxic people say anymore. So whenever those thoughts come to me, I'm like, no. It is their toxicity. I'm not out here fear-mongering. I'm not hating a particular group of people. If because people think when you call out racism and white supremacy that you're saying all white people are the same. I know that that's not what I'm doing. As long as I know my truth, know who I am, I'm able to ignore it a lot more now. But yeah, at the beginning, it was really, really difficult, and it did mess with my mental health. Yeah.
It's got it so hard, but it's funny because you picked up on there as well that you had people that are like us where you go, how could you say that? Versus people that you've never met that support you. And I think that's also one of the most amazing things I found with being online, because I remember when I first decided that I was going to go fully self-employed, that's when I was like, my authentic self is really coming out, like everything to do with mental health. I was blogging, I was doing videos, and my dad was like, you do realize once you go down this path, there's no going back. And I was like, because at that point, that's when I'd
That's the
started.
point.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd started therapy, and that was because it got to a point where when the pandemic started, I couldn't leave the house. As in, my anxiety was so bad that I lived across the street from the shops, knew my neighbors, knew the area very well, and I just couldn't. Even the thought of leaving the house would send me into an anxiety attack or just a breakdown. And I was like, well, I can either move forward and have people that would have judged me anyway not want to be near me, which is a good thing, or I can stay back there where I'm constantly having to wear a mask, getting to the point where I'm so done and tired that I can't even, like, I don't know myself. I don't know what I want out of life. I don't, like, I wasn't suicidal, but I didn't care about being alive. I was like, what is the point in all of this? And then, yeah, you get to the other side and you're like, I would do this 10 times over. Like, it's, I think there are people that fight for you that I don't think they realize how much of an impact they have on your life.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, like there's one guy in America, like oh, every time I see his username come up, I'm like, oh, I love you so much. Him and Charlene in Scotland, like they just fought for me and validated me so much and validated my experiences. And then another guy, I can't remember his name, but a white guy from Dublin, and he believed me straight away whenever I started sharing my stories. He was like, I'm from Dublin. I moved away from Dublin because of stuff like that. And he's white. And so like people like that, that you're just like, thank you. Like, honestly, like they changed. They made me feel like I wasn't alone. And I think one of the things that the reason oppressive systems and toxic people want us to be silent is because shame thrives in silence. And also mental health issues thrive in silence. Literally, for years, I thought I was wrong. I thought maybe I was too sensitive to my father-in-law saying that black people couldn't rule themselves. I thought I was too sensitive to him saying that black people are the cause of all the problems in the UK. I thought I, do you know what I mean? And then I started sharing my stories, and people were horrified. They were like, "What? He said your child looks too Kenyan. He what? You know, when I saw people's reactions, I was like, I was right. Do you know what I mean? Even though that sounds crazy to a person that hasn't been gaslit, to a person that hasn't been groomed for silence, right? But for people like us who are firstborn daughters, you just fall in line, you grow up in church, right? You don't talk back to your elders. You are literally groomed for situations like that because you're just gonna get on with it. You're not gonna hold people accountable. So the internet for me held up a mirror, and they were just like, "No, that is horrific. You were right. Your inner child was right, and you're right to stand up to them. You're right to go no contact with them," and which is something I would have never done had I kept quiet, because the shame and the guilt would have been too much.
Oh God, I applaud you so much for that. And oh, we don't have much time left, so because you said another bit there that's now made me change my win of the week. So what has been
Oh
your no, in a
no.
good, in a really good way, but what has been your win of the week?
Being fully present for my kids,
Yeah, I love that.
just because as I parent them healthily, I heal. I really like I noticed that me being present for them allows me to be fully present for my inner child. So just fully showing up and, you know, doing our library visits and our IKEA visits and, you know, our walks and just,
Oh, I love that. Oh, amazing. So based off of what you said, like groomed for silence. Oh my God. You said that and I was like, these words, like you're just coming up. Yeah. It's mine definitely has to be. I had a really difficult situation at the beginning of the week, and normally when stuff like that happens, I've always been a people pleaser, and I wouldn't have either. I'd have tried to stand up for myself and reacted out of emotion, which would have then made me look bad, or I'd have just not said anything, which either way, both of those aren't good. And so it was something that was related to one of my clients, and I messaged my client saying, I'm gonna reply to this because it was to do with another person tomorrow, and I'll CC you in. But I just want to reply, not putting the emotion in it. And then I stood up for myself as well. And I woke up to a message from them because I sent it late at night. I woke up to a message from them saying, that was a great email. And I was like, I stood up for myself. I gave myself the time to like get my composure. I don't know when before this I'd have ever been able to do that. So yeah, it's a massive for
I
me.
love that.
Amazing.
I love that. Well done.
God. Oh, I have so enjoyed this, and obviously, like we didn't even get to talking about the short film or anything, and we've touched on little bits like being the oldest daughter, and I'd definitely love to have you back on. We'll see what people want us to talk about, but I just have to say thank you for just being you and showing other people, because it's I get how difficult it is to put yourself out there not knowing who's gonna react to it, and sometimes it's not like we do this for other people, but I know what I felt like, and to see someone on my screen that I can resonate with so much, and that sometimes I pick up my phone and a day I'm having will make me feel like, okay, I'm valid. I'm okay. The people that I might have thought would have had my back, that doesn't matter because there are random people out there that have never met me and will validate me so much that it makes me feel worthy. Not that I should never feel worthy, but you know what I mean? And oh, I see, but that's how you make me feel. I think that it's just amazing what you do and who you are, because I know it's not easy, and I can't even imagine. Like I said, I'm scared of having kids, and we're talking about all this at the moment. And for you to do all of that and just do it the way you do every day, like it's so inspirational. And there are people like you and Lynn that, when it does come to that time, and me and G do have kids, I know that I'm gonna still be me and my own person. I used to worry about losing myself. You guys just, yeah, I think it's just incredible who you are, what you do, and I'm so glad the universe put us together.
Me too. Thank you so much. Honestly, it's been such a pleasure meeting you as well. And you're such a light. I love it when you pop up on my screen as well. And,
Oh,
you know, and seeing you thrive as a business owner and, you know, like you're killing it. And I love
thanks so
it.
much. Right, for everyone,
Yeah.
obviously your links are all going to be in the, well, in my bio and in the comments. So make sure
Okay.
you follow Maureen absolutely everywhere. And there will definitely be a part two to this, because do you know what? I also want to do one eventually if we can find the time in person, because just even being in the same room as you, it was so exciting.
Yeah,
Like, I just
that would
want
be
to hug you
so
and like
good.
sit and chat. But yeah, it'd be
Yeah.
nice to do a bit more of like an in-depth one, because yeah, I just think that there's still a lot to talk about. But like you said, I think it's just in such a nice, positive and light way. So yeah, guys, keep liking, subscribing, follow us, and keep doing what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
awesome.
too. Thank you
Bye.
guys. Thank you.